up the country of Israel and the Israel people, and we know they were your chosen people, Father God, and we know that you've already spoke about what was going to happen, Father God, and we never thought we would be living in the days. But God, we are living those days, and we just ask for your protection over those people, Father God. Tell us what it is that we're supposed to be doing during this time. Lord Jesus, we ask your blessings over our families here, those that are near and far, Father God. We ask your blessings over your word. And Father God, we thank you for the word that you're about to bring forth. For us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. You know, it's always good to be in the presence of the Lord. It's always good. You know, Pastor asked me, he said, could you give the Christmas Eve message? And I kind of hesitate a little bit, not because I didn't want to speak, not because I didn't feel confident or anything like that. But I was thinking to myself, I said, Pastor, probably ain't going to be nobody there but me and my wife, you know. But God is good. Sister Delina said, know many of y'all would want to rather be home looking at a movie or what have you. And I'm pretty sure that the men are thinking, well, a couple of the games will be on today. I could probably get me a little extra time in. But, you know, the way the Panthers are playing and the Commanders and the Steelers are playing, you probably need to be here praying for them. You need to be praying for them, you know. So, matter of fact, they need to be in church today. I tell you, God is good, you know, and that was my joke for the day. I didn't see a whole lot of smiles on your faces, so somebody's feelings must be hurt. But that's all right, because we all, those that support the Ravens like myself, we know they're gonna do what they got to do, and everybody else can fall in place. You know, I kind of struggled with the message today. I was like, man, what, Lord, what do you want me to say? And one day went by, another day went by, and I was like, Lord, you ain't giving me nothing. Now, what do you want me to say? Because, you know, I wanted to give you something that was pertaining to Christmas, something that was just the word of God. But I wanted to talk about Christmas and Christ. I put my glasses on so I can see what's going on up here. And, you know, so I asked the question, why do we celebrate Christmas? You know, I've been praying to God. I said, Lord, why do we celebrate Christmas? And according to Google, Christmas is celebrated to remember the birth of Jesus Christ. That's according to the Bible. Google just took something out of there. Who Christians believe is the Son of God. And that's the part that I from Google, I was like, okay. It says, Christmas is celebrated to remember the birth of Jesus Christ, who Christians believe is the Son of God. Who Christians believe is the Son of God. All right, that's where we start. All right, we understand that. If you're like me, you always look inside of the words. You see what's being said, you know, because we know in the last days, we all going to be Christians. You might serve somebody else right now, but in the end, we all going to be Christians. So get ready. Now, also Google said the name Christmas comes from the mass of Christ Jesus. A mass is a service that they used to hold back in the fourth century. You know, they talked about, according to the fourth century, they said December the 25th was first attributed to Christmas in the fourth century. And, you know, they did it as a part of a celebration for harvest and the winter solstice. You know, so that's what the book said about Christmas. Then you think about it, I said, but Lord, why do we celebrate Christmas? And so, you know what came to mind when I started thinking about this thing? What came to mind was when I was a kid, what do we look forward to for Christmas? Go ahead, somebody say it, because I know somebody won't say it. Them gifts, that's right. You know, I still remember the Christmas when I got that bicycle I've been wanting. And that NFL football set, electric, plug it in the wall and the little men run across the thing. I remember all that stuff. That was Christmas to me. That's what it was about. That's what I thought about. You know, and my mom, we had a, I passed this on to my family. We always spent Christmas morning at our own house. We always woke up at our own house on Christmas. And my mom, we would have Christmas and we would open gifts in the morning. And then by noon, we'd be in the car going to my grandma's house. I know I'm probably the only one that y'all did any of that. You know, we went to my grandmother's house and there we would meet the other family members and what have you. And so we kind of carried that on in our family. And I still remember the first Christmas, Delina and I, when we moved here to Ahoskie. And it was just she and I. We didn't have any, didn't have the boys yet. And we got up and we did our little Christmas thing. We opened some gifts, you know, and we said our prayers and what have you. And that was Christmas, but it just didn't seem right. It didn't seem like the Christmas. And so, you know, I think she looked at me and said, well, you want to go to your mom and dad's house? So we got in the car. Well, let me back up. That's not completely true. We had already planned to go. So we drove to Raleigh, spent some time at my parents' house. Then a couple of hours later, we drove from Raleigh to Maryland, where she lives, to spend some time at her parents' house. And we stayed there a day, and we spent time. And the reason we did it in that order was because we had already made a plan to go see her brother. Her brother was in the Air Force, and he was stationed in Germany. We got on a plane and flew to Germany and spent the rest of the holidays with them, you know, because they were lonely, because they were over there by themselves, him and his wife, and they were there by themselves. And that Christmas, it's that Christmas spirit, guys. It's that's the thing, you know, and we thought about that thing, and we went over, and we did the visits, and I'm sure any part of the story I got wrong, she'll correct me later. But we spent time with them for Christmas. Well, it was after Christmas, but we spent time with them. But that was the spirit. That was the spirit that God wanted us to make sure we convey. Christmas, you know, it's the love of Christ. And so as I continue to deal with, because this ain't the message yet, because what I kept dealing with the Lord, I said, Lord, well, all right, that's good. You know, we thought about that good stuff and Christmas. And you know, he said, well, how did you feel? And some of you guys may have experienced this. When you had that Christmas and you went over to those in-laws' house or those cousins' house, in our case, my cousins and my grandmother's house for Christmas Day. And they started passing out gifts. You know, they, you know, because you don't have so many people, you don't have a gift. You might not have a gift for everybody or a certain person got certain names. Well, as a kid, you don't understand why you didn't get a gift. You won't know, well, wait a minute now. You know, you start thinking, well, Sally got a gift. Bobby got a gift. Why I didn't get a gift? Well, it's always that one cousin or one person that forgot. They were counting and they miscounted. You know, how did you feel? You know, and, you know, as a young person, like, that's all right. You know, I came over and I helped do this and I helped do that and do this, and they ain't gonna give me no gift. I ain't come over here no more. You, that's what you felt. That's real stuff right there, right? That's real stuff. And it's like, you know what, or Lord knows, even when you get older, you start thinking, well, you know, I used to help her do this, and I used to help him do that. And, oh, Lord, don't get this deep now. And they needed some money about a month or so ago, and I sent them some money, and they can't even get me a gift or at least a thank you, a card, something. What is that feeling? You're thinking, uh-oh. See, you know what? They won't get no more money from me. I can guarantee you that. You ain't got to worry about that no more. And then God dropped it in my spirit, you know, because I'm thinking about all these things, and he dropped it in my spirit. And Ephesians 4:26, can we put Ephesians 4:26 up? Let's see what it says there. Ephesians 4:26, ye be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. God said to me, he said, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, which led me to something that Pastor talked about many years ago when we talked about the success, how to be successful. The last part of that being successful is about 10 different things. It said, and this is our message today, don't let your feelings be more important than your job. Don't let your feelings be more important than your job. And I know somebody's saying, I know he ain't talking about my job, no nine, my 9 to 5. I'm not talking about your 9 to 5. I'm talking about your 24/7. Now, what are you talking about? 9 to 5 is that job you go to every day. Your 24/7 is your life. Okay? That's what God had me to drop in my spirit. You know, we're talking about your life. We're reminded of all these wonderful things. But let's look at this thing that says your feelings. What does it tell us about your feelings? Let's look at let's look at Matthew 28 and 20. 28 and 20. So as we talk about that, what kind of feelings are we having when that person did not give us that gift that we thought we deserved, that gift we thought we had earned? Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have command you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Psalms, next scripture. Psalms 2 and 4. Psalms 2 and 4. He that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in. Wow. What's the message that's going forth right now? What's the message? I know everybody's thinking, all right, he's going in 4 or 5 different directions. And we're talking about, first of all, let's talk about your feelings. Because when it says don't let your feelings be more important than your job, you know, your feelings. The Bible tells us that they talk about emotions. You know, it says don't let your passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Don't let anger control you or be fuel for your revenge, not for even a day. Don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, the opportunity to manipulate you. Because see, here's what happens. When you get upset because someone didn't give you a gift or someone treated you the wrong way, or even something that's even worse than not giving you a gift, you be at that family gathering and somebody make a joke with you as the point of the joke. And that cuts you deep, doesn't it? I think we all have been there. And they may have said something that's, you know, just a joke, just being funny or whatever. They thought it was funny, but you didn't. All right? All of that changes your direction of what Christmas is all about. It changes your direction. Think about it. Your whole mindset just changed. When you go back, even now, as I look at some of your faces, some of y'all are remembering some of those situations, and you're going back to that moment. You know, you're getting a little, okay, you know what? I remember that. That was not a good thing. You know, irregardless, many of those people are dead and gone now, but you still remember that time. And it's imperative, it's very important that we understand it's the trick of the devil. When you get into your feelings, that allows the devil to control how you think and what you do. That's the key right there. Remember, don't let your feelings be more important than your job. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the feelings. God has already determined what he has for you. And what he has for you, it's for you. No devil in hell can change that. But you got to walk in it. We got to walk in it. We got to believe it. And we got to live it. We got to live it. And like Sister Lionel was also saying about, you know, Pastor prophesied this is a season of increase. You know, it was funny. It wasn't funny to me at that time. But yesterday we were talking and I was telling her that I got a little bonus on my check. You know, if you've been in for a number of years, over 30 years, you get a little something extra in your check. Got a little something extra in my check, and guess what happened? My son called me on the phone, said the wash and dry not working no more. We pulled right on over to the store and had to order a dry. Well, he said the dryer's not working. It was cheaper just go ahead and buy a washer and a dryer. I mean, they only, 25 years old? We didn't got all our money's worth out of them. I said, good gracious. And then my son said, I'm probably telling too much. My son said, well, tell you what, if y'all go ahead and pay for it, I'll drive my truck down and we'll pick it up. And as I was standing there talking to the man, the Holy Spirit hit me and said, no, don't tell him to come pick it up. He said, because you ain't going to pick it up and carry it and put it in. He said, let the people deliver it so they can connect it and do all the extra stuff and then take the old wash and dry away. Otherwise, it all been sitting right there in my house. You know, and I was like, God is good. You know, God is good. We got to learn how to live according to what he's telling us and believe it. That's what we got to walk in. It's imperative that we walk in this stuff. See, I could have very easily gotten in my feelings and said, I ain't buying nothing. No, we ain't buying nothing. We'll just take it to the laundromat. We'll just, you know, shoot, I ain't buying them. Not doing that. You know, that's what the devil wanted to see me do. That's what he wanted to see me do. You know, and I just, you know, I was like, okay, I thank God my mind was right. Because we had, and she laughing over there. I'm glad my mind was right because we had been riding. We had a long day yesterday. And so we had been riding and we were just, you know, had been spending money. So automatically my thought was, okay, we got some more money that got to go out now. Wait a minute. We just got this little piece of money and it's gone. All of it is gone. So the point is, God had already planned something, but see, he won't put no more than you can bear. And he already prepared a blessing for us. Now see, what he earmarked that money for was not what we earmarked it for. Because we're thinking in our human minds, God already knew what was going to happen. I mean, that dryer had been cutting up for a while, but we kept using it. I mean, it got to the point where you open the door, it keep right on running. It wouldn't even cut off. It keep right on running. I told her, I said, it'd be all right, girl. As long as it's still dry, we'd be all right. Keep going. Hey, getting every last little bit of it out of there. So, yeah, and I had just told her that. And then my son called and said, oh, yeah, the dryer's not working. I'm like, okay, I guess that's my sign. But had I been in my feelings, that's important. Make sure you don't let your feelings be more important than your job. And I know that's like, and I know everybody's thinking, what in the world is he talking about job today? This ain't about no job. This is about Christ. Well, young people, old people, people, my people. Did I get everybody? Now, that other part of that thing when it says feelings being more important than your job. See, you're thinking about that 9 to 5, all right? That's a challenge there. That's a challenge. But your job as a Christian, what's your job as a Christian? Let's see what our job is as a Christian, because that's what we're talking about. Job number one, to love God and others. That's the first thing. It's the first responsibility of your job. You know, when you get hired on a job, you want to know, what's my job description? What am I supposed to be doing? Number one, love God and others. Number two, share the gospel and make disciples. See, I talk about it all the time. I think I said it during Bible study. It's imperative that we never know who's watching us. And I always use the example about being in the grocery store. You push that cart out there and you look over there and the cart's supposed to be all the way over there. Your car's over here. And you're like, man, I'm not pushing that cart all the way over there. But see, you don't never know who's watching you. It'll be that one person that came to church Sunday, saw Ernest Cooley stand up at the pulpit, and then he gonna leave the cart sitting in the middle of the parking lot. And he's supposed to be a Christian. He called himself a minister, but he gonna leave the cart for somebody else to push or run into. Push that cart over there. Put that cart up. in simple things. I know people think that's, you know, that's not that serious. That's a simple thing. Yes, but am I making a disciple by that? They say, I don't want to be one of them. I don't want to be one of them kind of Christians that they call themselves. I don't think I want to be one of them. So it's important that we make sure that we are the example. That's how you make disciples. Because eventually what's going to happen, you don't have to say anything. Somebody's going to come to you. And when they come to you, have a word. You know, if you only know one Bible verse, learn that Bible verse and be able to quote it and know what it means. And share that with that person. Because you're going to spark that interest. That's what developing a disciple is all about. Job number three. Here we go. To live a life of holiness and purity. Whew. Woo, that's a tough one, ain't it? To live a life of holiness. Now, you got to understand, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's what we're doing today. You ask for forgiveness and you move forward. Ask for forgiveness and move forward. Now, that don't mean you keep making the same mistake 10 times now. That's different. That's something totally different. But we mess up because we all mess up. Whether it's a big mess up or a little mess up. Because God only sees the mess up. All right? And that's important to remember. God only sees the mess up. What we do afterwards. That's the thing. Because, see, we're talking about our job. And, see, there's some people in here now that got that 9-to-5 that they go to. And you better not mess up on that job because they're going to get you. They're your supervisor or whatever. Mess up. All right, now, let one of them men over there at Purdue mess up one of them trucks, Al. Al going to get them. He going to correct them. That's what he's going to do. All right, let me say it that way. He's going to correct them. He's ignoring me now, but he's going to correct them. This is what we got to do. He's going to tell them what they're supposed to do. This is your job. Your job, not the 9-to-5, your 24/7. You know, live a life of holiness and purity. We should be striving for that each and every day. Striving for that each and every day. You know, if you're not aiming for it, you're not going to hit it. Come on. You know, when I coached for 100 years, I seemed like coached for basketball for a long time and football, all that kind of stuff. I taught kids what I wanted them to do. All right, I had a conversation about that this morning. You know, but if you're shooting a basketball, if you're not aiming for the basket, you're never going to hit it. You know, you can throw that ball every way you want to, but if you're not aiming for that target, you're never going to hit it. That's our lives. We got to be aiming for holiness. Come on. And eventually we're going to hit it. Come on. Okay, that's important. That's number three. Number four, to be a good steward of all that God has given us. Uh-oh. Be a good steward of all that God has given us. You know, I go back to that washing machine and dryer over there. You know, we took care of that thing. Basically, all we did was plug it up and put stuff in it. But be a good steward of everything that God gives you. You know, like I said, I had some ideas about what to do with that little extra money I thought we was gonna have. All right, but I didn't spend it. I didn't mess with it. Because God had a plan. God gives us, he provides us with stuff. And when I'm going to say it like this, God provides us with stuff, but God also provides us with people. Uh-oh. I'm getting on my own, every time I speak, I'm talking to myself as well as, you know, we're talking husbands and wives. Be a good steward of what God blesses us with. Okay? God blesses us with good people in our lives. Be it family members, be it friends, whatever. Be a good steward. Treat people the way you want to be treated. That's what's imperative. And do things the right way. And take care of those things. Because God will bless us with so many things. Good gracious. You know, if you look around, and when you leave here and you go back to your home or whatever, just kind of look around. You know, things that we just take for granted from time to time. Just look around and see what it is that God has blessed you with. And say to yourself or say to God, how can I be a good steward of this? How can I be a good steward of this. And God, and see, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you a trick now. When you start asking God questions, he's going to give you an answer. Uh-huh. Now, here's the thing with the answer, though. It may not be the answer you want. That's the tricky part. It's not a trick. It's the truth. All right? Ask God a question. Ask him what you want. And he's not going to give it to you, the answer, when you want it. He's going to give it to you right on time. You know, because as I told you, I've been looking, trying to figure out what to present today. And God, he wasn't coming fast. I mean, even to the point this morning, I had to change some things and shorten some things. And this is part of what I was going to do. You know, and God said, no, don't do this. You know, be a good steward of what God has blessed you with. Be a good steward. Once again, we're talking about the job. Remember, don't let your job, don't let your feelings be more important than your job. You know, so when we get upset and we're talking about, once again, we're talking about, and everybody said, well, I thought we was going to get a Christmas message. You did. You got a Christmas message about feelings, about who Christians are, about what's expected of us as Christians, what our job is. Now, whether you like it or not, God didn't tell me to do nothing about what y'all like, okay? That's just me. It ain't about what you like. It might be about what you need, okay? So somebody got something that they needed today. It might not have been what they wanted to hear. You know, we thank God that Christ died on the cross for us. We thank God that Christ was born, because we would not be here. Hate to hurt your feelings, but you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be able to drive that nice car and wear those nice clothes and have all that big money y'all got in your bank accounts and all that kind of stuff. You wouldn't be able to do all that stuff. It wouldn't be happening. But I want you to make sure you remember your job. We talked about, you know, don't let your feelings be more important. Those feelings can, the devil can use those feelings to send you in a different, totally different direction. Totally different direction. And it can happen in a moment's time. You can go from being happy to being sad or from being happy to being mad in a matter of 2 seconds or less and change your entire direction. You know, along with those guys dropping in my spirit, he says now, with those emotions, he said, be careful who you associate with. Be careful who you associate with. You know, any of you that may have not just younger kids, but also anybody else. You know, maybe somebody you work with. Maybe somebody that lives next door to you. You know, it may be convenient to talk to Billy Bob because he lives next door, but he might not be the person you need to be talking to. Think about where the conversation is going. Think about what direction that's leading me in. Okay? You know, this ain't in my notes, so God is telling me something here that we need to be careful who we associate with. That's going to change our direction. The devil will use everything he can. The feelings is what we talked about. Don't let your feelings be more important than your job. The feelings, oh, they did me wrong. They did me dirty. I done did all this and that, and this. I've been on this job for so many years, and they can't even do this for me. Could at least gave me a little gold watch or something when I left, a check or something. They just said, thank you for your service. Have a nice time. You know, I think about that when I served in the military, and, you know, forever and a day, I never tried to get any kind of the benefits or whatever from being in the military. And most people say, well, you crazy. Why you ain't trying to get you? I said, well, if a time comes, then I'll put in for whatever I need to, but it's no need for me to just do something just because I can get it free. You know, I put it this way. So as a discount, I said, well, God tell me it's time to do certain things, then we'll operate in that manner. You know, and so he revealed to me, you know, all right, now you might want to start trying to get that military discount now. I said, okay, Lord, all right, we'll do that. You know, what's this, like 20-something years later? But I don't want to miss my point because I'm going off on a tangent. My wife ain't put her hand up. She usually give me the sign like, all right, you just said enough now. Don't forget Let's go back. Our job. We talked about don't let your feelings be more important than your job. Remember, we're not talking about that 9-to-5 job. We're talking about your 24/7 job, that job as a Christian. And the first thing was make sure you love God and love others. Love God and love others. It's easy to love God. Them others, woo, woo. Them others are the ones that might get you, all right? Now, I recently had a aunt that passed away. My dad's, she was 93, and saw some of my family members and one of my cousins. She was there, and I said, how are your kids doing? I said, I know you got about 5. She said, no, I don't. I got 4 kids. I said, okay. I said, well, how they doing? Them rascals. And now her kid, granted now, her kids are like 35, 40. She said, I love them, but I can't stand them. I said, do what? She said, the Bible said you got to love them. They say you got to like them. I laughed, but I said, you're right. You're right. She said, the Bible said I got to love them, but I ain't got to like them. Because they don't do things they're supposed to be doing and da-da-da. And about that time, my dad chimed in and said, well, you was a mean something when you was growing up, too. And she was. But the point was that those other people, we got to love them. God says you have to love them. He didn't say you got to like them. All right? He didn't say you got to like them, but you got to love them. You know, because you do a lot of things out of love that you don't do out of like. Just think about that now. That's a tricky one. We do a lot of things out of love that we don't do out of like. Because if you like somebody, you might not be willing to do this. But if you love that person, all right, well, Holy Spirit said I'm supposed to love you, so let me go ahead and do this for you. I ain't going to spend no time with you here. Take this, go on about your business, be blessed, and keep moving. I ain't going to spend a whole lot of time with you because your spirit ain't right. But see, guess what? That leads us into that number 2 where it says share the gospel and make disciples. Based on your actions, you're going to make a disciple. Because if somebody know you don't like them, and trust me, they know you don't like them just because of how you conduct yourself. But you love them. You know, you talk to somebody. You'll spend some time with somebody you love. You'll go ahead and share stuff and just be a blessing, overall blessing. And you're willing to go an extra mile for somebody. But if it's somebody you just don't like, you're probably not going to go the extra mile. You're not. You can tell me whatever you want to tell me. That's fine. But I know for a fact. I know from experience. Let me say it that way. People that you don't like, you're not going to do certain things for. So that leads you to, that was number 2, being a disciple. Number 3, live a life of holiness and purity. We already talked about that. That's a job. That's a job within itself. You have to live a life of holiness and purity. You have to aim for that target. That's not something you just wake up one day, oh, I'm holy, oh, I'm pure, oh, I'm this, I'm that. You got to aim for that target. That's something you got to work towards. And it's not just a one-day thing. It's something you got to build on. And we're all working in that same direction because none of us are the king of holiness. Make sure you understand that. And then, of course, we talked again about being a good steward. Because God's going to bless you. Pastor's already prophesied that, you know, this is a year of increase, you know. And the blessings are going to keep coming. You're going to keep getting money. You're going to keep getting, and we always think about money when we're talking about increase. It might be increase in time. It might be, a new home. I don't know. It's just going to be anything, you know. That's the thing. But whatever God gives you or whatever God provides you with, take care of it. Amen. Take care of it to the glory of God. Take care of it. That's the thing. That's the whole Christmas message right there. Amen. That's the Christmas message. You know, take care of it. Be willing to be a steward. Be willing to, now I'm gonna say something strange. Be willing to be an example that somebody else can use as their guide. Yeah, that's tough now. That's tough because, you know, we always think about kids wanting to be like their parents and all that kind of stuff. But one of the things that I found is that people need a guide. Whether you're older than them, younger than them, doesn't matter. If you live it right, they're going to start to gravitate to you. And that's the thing. And when they gravitate to you, you got to have something to share. Be that example. You know, be that example. I just thank you right now. You know, God is good. You know, as we close out, I want you to understand that it's your job to go forth and be a blessing to somebody. It's your job to go forth and be a blessing to somebody. You know, and your key to, knowing if this is the right thing to do, if you start to say, just quick example, I think I'm gonna give Sally Mae $20 just because. And then you say, no, I ain't giving her $20 because I need to put some gas in my car. That's your sign that you need to do it. That sound bad, didn't it? That's your sign that you need to do it. Because when you give, and that's you're giving that, God's gonna replace that plus some. He's gonna bless you. He's gonna bless you. Make sure you take care of those blessings that he gives you. You know, whether that's with time, whether that's with effort. It ain't always about money. I'll make sure we all understand. This ain't all about money either. You know, that ain't what Christ came for, money. You know, it's just about us showing that Christmas, that Christ spirit. That's what it's about. And here's the other thing that I always get people all the time. It shouldn't just happen at Christmas time. It should be every day. It should be every day. You know, for those people that are walking around cussing folk out, you know, say a blessing and a prayer and keep moving. You know, because what's going to happen is God's going to send somebody to you. And it might be that person you just saw cussing out three or four people. But all, for whatever reason, they won't come see you. Have a word for them. And I'll share this, and I'm sharing too much, but I had a student that at one of the schools that somebody was telling me was the baddest little person in the world, you know, last year. And for whatever reason, our paths crossed. And, you know, I had to share a little Christmas word with them. I said a Christmas word. I had to give them the urban version of who they were and who I was and what was going to happen if we couldn't make this thing work. Lo and behold, that child, every time they see me, will come up to me and hug me. Seriously, will come up to me and hug me. And I was at the school, and this ain't to the side, in the middle of the hallway. Hey, how you doing? I said, hey, hug me. And they was like, well, this, I don't know what you said to them, but that rascal right there, good gracious. And then the thing that just touched my heart, I was there, and the child had on a T-shirt that said, Jesus saved me. Had on a T-shirt in big letters, Jesus saved me, on the chest and on their back. And I was like, I shared that with my wife. I was like, I said, Lord, I don't know how you did that. I don't know how you did that. But they play sports, so I try to make an effort to go and see them play from time to time, just so that I can be that, I don't know, that little light or whatever. And it's just, you don't know, guys. We don't know who we are in Christ. We don't know what kind of power we have. This is not just a Christmas thing. This is an everyday thing. This is a Jesus thing. We got to do it, you know. And when you get tired, bring your butt to church. Study the word. I said it like that because I want you to hear it. That's right. Study your word. Study it. Read it for yourself. You don't actually have to be here, but you need to know what's going on. And I said it like that because, you know, because even when you get sick, you know when you're too sick to come. Get your little Bible out. Turn that TV on if you want to, and look at one of the right minister on TV. That's some good people on TV. Now, some that in 5 minutes you're going to know, no, this ain't the one I need to listen to. All right? But get the word in you. Pray. Ask God for strength and courage. All right? Because you are, look, I'm telling you guys, you are that light. You're going to be that light on your job. When people do you wrong, you're going to be that light. When people just want to just do what they think. And the sad part is, it ain't even them. It's the devil working through them. It's not even them. But we always get them feelings again. Don't let your feelings be more important than your job. We always get them feelings that, you know what? That joker said to me. You know what they said. You know what they did. It's not the people. It's the devil doing his thing. Unfortunately, we see the people. That's who we see. We see the people. If we can look beyond that, get beyond that, whew, my God, my God. I said a lot. I moved in a whole bunch of directions, but the message, don't let your feelings be more important than your job. I tried to explain to you what your feelings were, and I explained to you what your job is. All right? Take that with you as we close out. Take that with you. You know, if we would just please stand where you are, just please stand where you are. We're going to close out with a prayer. You know, friend of mine used to sing a song that had the verse that said, God is knocking at the door of your heart, saying, my child, won't you come in? You know, each and every day, God extends his hand and he offers us the opportunity to come in and accept him in our heart. We have to accept him. He's already accepted us. It's up to us to accept him so that we are where we need to be when those last and final days come. Guys, I want you to be in a place. Now, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to go ahead and admit this right now. I'm going to heaven. I hope to see you there. I'm going. Don't know where I'm going to be living at. Don't know my address just yet. I guess it's going to be 103 Heaven Gates. I don't know. But I'm going to be there. I hope to see you there. You know, and it's a difficult job to get there now. It's not an easy path. It's not an easy path. Because every time you make three steps, somebody going to get in the way, going to put something in your way. Try to make you climb over it, run around it, jump it, whatever you got to do to get by, go through it. But, like I said, God is knocking at the door of your heart, asking you, my child, won't you come in? And you've got to be willing to come in. Brother Earl is already, he's going, when I finish the prayer, when I say the prayer, he's got a couple items that we had from last week's.
You can get a box, make sure you get one this week.
Right. If you weren't unable to get a box from last week, if you got one last week, please don't come back and get another one. Messing with you again. But.
No kids, no way to forget about it.
Well, okay, you don't have any kids today. That's, sure don't. I just noticed that. We had a kids box as well, but this is for grown folks, so come and get you a box. Let us pray. I see Daryl giving me the look back there, so I'm going to go ahead and pray now. He gave me the smile, like, all right, cool, you didn't talk enough. All right, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for the opportunity to spend time with you, Lord, and study your word. We pray right now, Father God, that everybody here and everybody associated to everybody here be blessed, not just today, tomorrow, next week, but throughout their lives, Father God. We call them blessed, highly favored. Father God, we call your wisdom and your direction upon them and their families. Lord, we ask that you just let this be one of the best times they've ever had in their life. Lord God, we just praise you and we give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.